fuck, this music just fucking makes me want to fight people. Can you hear the music?
Oh, I mean, it's coming in loud and clear, yeah.
Fuck yeah, a lot of people can't hear it, bro. All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Ascension Boychuk, the man, the myth, the legend behind the intro outro music there. And you know, I'm pretty excited you know, on the podcast today. I'm joined by, you know, the Pills Minister of Canada, the son of a Métis logger, the pride of Hayton. We got Diener. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Dick Frost, how you doing, brother? Just glad to be on the program, man. Thanks for having me. And yeah, just to get her going, like, that music, there's nothing like a great intro, especially when the tunes are absolutely ripping, to just get you in the right mood. Like, basically the intro should have you wanting to go through some drywall, you know what I mean? Just plow right through it.
You just wanted to, like, you know, pound back a few pill and fucking run through the drywall, eh?
Well, remember when the Flames lost the game 6 in the Stanley Cup? What was it, 2000? And wow, remember against the Lightning?
Yeah,
What's that?
2004.
2004. Yeah, that was the last time that they were in the Cup final. That was the last time I went through the drywall. Was that when they called that goal back? You know what I mean?
It was in.
And whenever I think about going through drywall, I'm taking it right back to my buddy's place. We were projecting it on a wall, and I went right through the drywall, man. And the neighbors were like, yeah, they came home and they're like, all our photos are on the floor. Like, all those pictures and stuff they had on the wall, everything came flying off. Good thing I only went through one side of the drywall, though, just to the joists.
The last time I went through the drywall, my sister was pissing me off. We were at home. I think we were racing for the phone or something like that. Kids these days don't do that shit. They don't race for the phone. They don't race to see who can answer the door first. You know, my door rang the other day. My doorbell rang. Someone was at the door. My kids got up, screamed, yelled, and went into hiding. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? I was ready to tell people I was home alone, you know, like, yeah, I'm here by myself, you know. But these kids, they hear a doorbell go and they're just like, oh my God, someone's coming to kill us.
You think so? Like, maybe they've got some, like, undisclosed trauma that you need to dig into, buddy. You should ask him a few questions why the doorbell's got them acting like a beaten dog.
No kidding, man. So just so you know, we're live streaming today's episode, man. I'm over here on TikTok live streaming over there, live streaming over on Facebook, over on YouTube, and on Instagram.
Right on, man. Deadly.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Fucking, man. Yeah. So I didn't finish that story. Shit. The last time I threw my sister through the wall, we were running for the door, I believe it was. And I pushed her right through the wall. I think she stepped in some dog pee along the way. So.
Wow. Okay. So that's I'd like to hear her version. So maybe we can get her and me back on one year anniversary. We can rekindle that romance.
Okay, well, yes, the 1 year anniversary of this episode coming out.
Yeah, all right, we'll do it, and we'll bring your sister on.
All right, I'll do that. I'll hit her up. My sister is quite the interesting cat. You know, she made a triple X rated film with our cousin. I was sent that video in the middle of the night from my wife, who's like, if I gotta see it, you gotta see it. I woke up in camp in Fort Mac and was like, hey, my wife's being kinky. So I open it up. And I got to the end of this movie, this 3 minute long movie, and was like, oh my God, I know that guy. I recognize the beard. And I'm like, oh my God, I recognize that guy. And then it was my sister. You know, she was wearing her glasses, which, when you've seen the pain, you'd understand, you know, why she had glasses. But
oh yeah. Man. Okay. So so you didn't recognize your sister in the movie till the end?
Well, it was dark, right? The light.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, now we definitely. Well, maybe let's do 6 months. Let's get her going.
6. You want to hear about this sooner, do you?
Yeah. Exactly. All right. That's good. No. You get the. It's a Dick Frost. What's your sister's name? Vag.
Vag Frost. Oh, my wife's watching over here on TikTok. She's like, you need to stop telling this story.
But you see, the best thing about telling stories is that you can always be like, "Yeah, we were just messing around. That wasn't real. That was
Yeah, it wasn't real.
we were just shooting the breeze, man."
Yeah, that story is not real for legal purposes.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Oh shit, man! So how's it going, brother? Man, I just watched your new movie there, Diener 89.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah. Thanks.
Man, what made you want to make another movie?
Well, I just for the longest time, I was like, oh, it'd be kind of fun to do like the backstory. You know what I mean? So, and then I'd start to think like, what was the funniest, like, what would be the funniest way of like revealing? So some of it's like loosely based on like my actual dad experience being Métis and him not finding out till much, much later, and having those roots and stuff. And I was like, oh, I thought it'd be kind of cool to tell a bit of like, bring in like my indigenous background stuff. Yeah. And then I was like, but it'd be cool to make it like go right back to the 80s and just sort of live in that world again. Cause it's just like, you know, everyone our age is kind of into nostalgia and stuff like that. And you know what I mean? Like, so where did you learn how to shotgun a beer? And, you know, when did you get into metal? And like, where, like all that, like all those like rad sort of like things that make you who you are in the present, like where'd that come from? Like nobody sort of like comes out of the ground, you know, like a fully formed human. You know, you got like all these people in your background, you know, that kind of like help develop who you could become for better, for worse, you know. And yeah. then that was kind of like, okay, that's the story. And then the best part was like kind of like, okay, well now who are the people, like the actors and stuff, that are gonna actually do that? And it was like, you know, Mary Walsh is like such a legend, like legendary Canadian. She's absolutely hilarious. So like she's Dean's mentor. And then you got Will Sasso. Like I always knew he was funny, but then when we were in the movie with him, like hanging out with him on a day-to-day basis, like guy is like hands down like the funniest guy I've ever like been in like a project with. Like just had me howling. Like his impersonations of wrestlers, like it's all over the internet, you know, like on Instagram and stuff. He's pretty popular. But just being in person with him, like when he'll just throw it in like, hell yeah, brother. And it's just so perfect in every situation. You just feel like you're standing in front of the Macho Man, you know, the Hulk. It's just, it's awesome. And then, you know, we got Kevin McDonald from the, like the legendary Kids in the Hall. So all these people are just like, oh, they're just like in your movie. It was, it was amazing. It was, and also cool that it was like all so Canadian, you know what I mean? Like, people forget how awesome Canada is sometimes. I think like how many deadly people from like hilarious people like are from this country, and like,
oh yeah,
that what makes this country great is a lot of it is just like how good we are at making people laugh, you know what I mean? So to be able to bring a whole bunch of legends into one project was really, really deadly.
Yeah, man. I don't know, you know who Uncle Hack is, right?
Yeah.
Uncle Hack's actually the one who was like, he's like, man, if you're gonna spend money on any movie to watch a movie right now, like on anywhere, like spend like the $6 and watch Diener 89, right? And I was like, all right, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, I think he actually wanted to know, like, you know, he's like, man, you gotta ask him how many cases of pill were actually consumed during the making of FUBAR, right?
Yeah. Well, the first movie we drank beers while we were making it, because that, you know, we were just kind of, we're young and just having fun. Basically nobody expected that we were gonna, like, including the guys making it, like we didn't expect much to come out of it other than, oh, we'll have something fun to do and, you know, who knows kind of like thing. But we're all kind of like, none of us had any real success in the film or TV industry or whatever, so there were like, the bar was really low, so yeah, just drinking a lot of beers was just like part of the process, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many we had, I don't know, like thousands for sure, like over the course of the process, you know. I don't even
definitely
know
how more big than what was in the trunk of the car.
Oh yeah. We polished that off in a weekend.
Love that, man. Love that. Oh shit. No, man, fucking dude, did your dad really leave you tickets when you first met him to see Dokken or what?
No, that was part of the fantastical journey of the movie. There was no docking tickets, but my dad is like, my real dad is still, he's still alive in the real world. He's like such a music guy, and he was part of like why, you know, and like when you're really when you're young, your parents go out of town and you just start like rifling through all their stuff, right? So it's just like going through my dad's records, and he was more into rock than metal. Like he didn't really have like a ton of metal records, but I remember putting on, like, I remember seeing the cover for the LP. Like he's a big vinyl guy, right? So he had like hundreds of vinyl, and they were all good. Like he wasn't one of those guys who had like 150 pawn, you know, like secondhand shop sort of like classical music albums that were like all destroyed and chewed up by cats and stuff. Like the ones he had were like super deadly, so they're all good. So I'm just going through them slowly, and then finally I get to like this one that was Boston, you know, like the spaceship on the front with the black space in the background, and just like there's Boston and these like really deadly letters. Like, what is Boston? What the hell is that? I'm, you know, 11 or 12 years old or something. You throw that thing on, and it's just like, you know, if you've never heard that kind of music before, it's pretty sick. You know what I mean? It's like an experience. I mean, I'm like, I'm dancing, I'm by myself. Like, we were just another band out of Boston. I mean, it's a bit sick. It's cheeseball rock, right? But it's like the, what do you call it? It was like the entrance drug, whatever that expression is. You know what I mean? Like pathway, hallway, whatever it is, like
Oh, the gateway.
the gateway. Yeah, Boston was basically like the gateway drug to metal, because it's like, you know, it's heavy, it's loud, the solos are ridiculous, they're ripping. And then, you know, you get sort of into like, oh, there's also, you know, more sort of like, I guess, mainstream metal, which, like, you know, you get like Scorpions and stuff like that, which is a little harder than, you know, than Boston. And then you get into the Wasp and Rat and the sort of like that 80s kind of like dirty metal stuff. And then, of course, you know, you get into like, of course, Black Sabbath, and then you're like, okay, this is metal, you know what I mean? And that was kind of it. Yeah, so I like, my old man didn't give me tickets, but he definitely like the ticket to becoming a guy who loved rock, like 100%, man, like for sure. And his record collection was the ticket for sure.
I love that. I love that. I'm not really into like the heavy metal, heavy rock music. Like I started getting into Volbeat recently, like in the last couple of years. And you know, I can respect a little bit of Metallica, right? Like, you know, I never really got into it, but now I hear it, I'm like, yeah, this is legendary, right? Like you just know when you hear it, right? You're just like, it's not really my type of thing, but like, you know. You know, you know it's fucking like it fucks, right? So
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the kind of the thing that I've been, you know, as you get older, you're just like, oh, I don't care if someone listens to the same music as me. I just want to be able to party. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I just want to listen to music and so I don't try and force. I'm not like the guy who's, you know, at his house having people over after the bar or whatever, and like trying to force people to listen to, you know, some sort of like B single from like an early Pantera record. Like, no, man, you really got to listen to like the bass. And you know, like, if people don't like metal, they don't like metal. I'm always into just like partying, putting on the tunes that get people partying. But the cool thing about metal for me and rock is that, like, it's just been like, it opens up a world of like instant friendship. Like, people who do like that kind of music, like when we're on tour or whatever, like with the band. Excuse me, that's the Pilsner coming out. The best part of being on tour with the band is that you're just like hanging out with like-minded individuals. Like, everybody loves metal, everyone loves to rock, and it's just like instant sort of like cousins, like from another mother, brothers from another mother, everywhere you go. You know what I mean? That's the best part of rock and metal scenes, is that like you're just welcome, you know, as long as you like bang your head to some Van Halen, like, yeah, buddy, let's go.
Hell yeah. Have you ever got to party with any rock bands or any metal bands since you started the whole journey or what?
I mean, not really. I can't say that there were any like huge metal bands. I mean, I've been to a ton of concerts, but not as like a VIP guest or anything like that. You know what I mean? I still got to pay for my tickets. But I mean, the one leg, I'd love to meet Rob Halford. You know, I think that's the one legendary metal. Like, if I could only choose one, that would be the guy I'd want to just hang out with. Like, he just had such an insane career. Like, like the Judas Priest, their first record is just this crazy, it's like a mind fuck, you know what I mean? It's like a, what do they call it? Like a concept album, you know what I mean? Every song, it's like a story, and it starts off all mellow and it gets insane. And it's got the, like a song called Jack the Ripper about like just being like a serial killer, like in the misty streets of old London town. It's like so insane. And then from there in the 70s, like into the 80s, where the music totally changed, and then into the 90s, and like somehow he got through like the 2000s and 2010s, and they're still making records and they're touring. And he's got this insane long ass like leather jacket with all the studs in it. He's bald now with massive goatee. Like just like the idea that anyone can be not just relevant, but still like a legendary icon, like 50 years in the business. I to me, that's just like hats off, man. That's just amazing. So yeah, that's he, Halford's the best.
Over here on TikTok, Wild and Kelsey said, respect a little bit of Metallica. Like, what? How do you just respect a little Metallica?
Oh, I'm gonna hurt her feelings because I'm not. I mean, I don't dislike Metallica. I mean, the first couple albums are absolute, you know, bangers. But I'm not a huge Metallica fan. I you know, after Kill 'Em All, I kind of like leaves me a little bit cold. But still, I mean, you know, you play those first couple records, especially the Garage Days Revisited, and I'm like, I'm going through the drywall, buddy.
Right back to the drywall. Where's my
Yeah.
sister? Shit. Yeah, man, I can't wait to get her on this. But yeah,
Where's is Vag on the chat?
no, Vag is not in the chat, man. Vag is
Okay.
probably at home taking care of her kid.
Oh, okay.
So funny story about that. After their triple X rated video, they were set to get married. They're second cousins, by the way, and they were engaged to be married. And I kind of made comments that got me uninvited a lot. One of them was like, you know, where do I sit when I come to the wedding? Because, you know, one side's for the groom, one side's for the bride. Do I sit in the middle? Because I'm related to both, right?
Yeah.
So that got me uninvited a couple times with my comments. And then about, I think, 8 months out before their marriage, he died. He had a heart attack. He was 28. He had the heart of an 80-year-old. It was the energy drinks. He was pounding them back, right? And I remember, and I made a video about it, and I joke around about it a lot because it's kind of funny now, and I can't believe I said it. But it was like 2 days or a day later, I was like, so Red Bull really did give him wings, huh? And
Like angel wings.
angel wings. Yeah, he was really flying, right? And like it was funny. Even she laughed, right? She's just like, okay, you know, like that's funny, but like, can you not? And then I made it into a video on TikTok and she's like, you need to take that down. But I just hid it. And then like a year or so later, she was in another relationship and he wanted to see the video because he thought it was funny. So I put it back up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, the what's the moral of the story, Dick? What's
I gotta be
the moral of
careful. I gotta
the
be careful here, man. I gotta be very careful here, you know.
story?
Maybe the Lord was speaking about not, you know, maybe not doing incest. I don't know.
No, I thought you were going to say Red Bull.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? I'm all about the monsters right now and the rains, you know, and I only have one every couple of days. It's not like I'm doing, you know, one or two a day, you know, and I
I
recently.
think you're punching down just because your wife is your third cousin, you feel like you can punch down to the second cousins. I think that's pretty cheap, man.
Well, you know, I had to, you know, move that bloodline just a little bit back, you know, if I was gonna shit on my sister for it, not literally shit on my sister, but like if she might be
Yeah.
into that, you know. But hey, you know, shout out to my sister though, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's easier to go down the hall than it is across the street, right? So.
Yeah, that's deadly true. That's why you got to keep the window open.
Yeah, hey, you know what? The cousin lives next door. Just come through the window so daddy doesn't see.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. We got tunnels for that. Oh, okay. So that's another hilarious little anecdote. I'm just jotting down notes on your sister here because she seems like quite the character.
Oh man. Oh yeah, my sister. Yeah. What else has she done over the years? Oh man, my parents. We had a wild childhood, man. It was the 90s, you know, and you know,
Yeah.
parents, millennial children, weren't exactly parented properly by the boomers, right? The boomers are shitty parents. My dad and my mom left me to babysit her when I was 5 and a half, 6 years old. She was just born, right? So you're not just born. Yeah, she was probably about a year old, maybe. And I was babysitting her while they went skidooing, right? And they got into a nasty accident. My mom came back with bruises all down her side and shit. Imagine had they died on that snow machine trip, right? And I'm just left alone to babysit this newborn. And then, we really did raise ourselves there, Kelsey. And but then, you know, another time my dad put me in the bath with my 1-year-old sister and he comes walking by and I've got her head held under the water and they're freaking out on me. I'm like, bro, what do you mean? I'm just trying to see if the bitch can breathe. You know, is she Aqua Woman? I don't know.
Wow. I applaud your, you know, teaching her survival skills at a really young age.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, man, your movie, Diener 89, you know, really got me thinking, you know, like you guys lived it pretty wild, you know, but like my dad took me, oh God, it had to be the mid 90s. He took me to a wild boomer rager. Right. And, you know, he put me in the camper and I slept in there and my stepmom was at home and he brought another woman into the trailer. And he was just like giving her, right? And she's like, well, what if your son wakes up? And he's like, oh, no, my son's asleep. Trust me, he's not going to hear this. And then a couple days later, I asked him about it. And he's like, oh, that was your stepmom. She came to visit. He lied to both me and that pretty lady because I was definitely awake. I think that was my first experience with blood flow down there, you know? So,
okay. Well, it sounds like... hopefully you learned the lesson to not only tell the truth but to sleep deeper.
Yo, buddy. Yeah, I definitely learned how to ignore sounds and like, you know, I leave the TV on, you know, ever since
then. Yeah, or wear earplugs or headphones and put the music on. Yeah. That's classic roommate stuff.
Yeah, classic. Yeah, it's who knew my dad would be the worst roommate.
Yeah, no, that's it. Like when your parents become like your worst roommates. That's, you know, that's when it's time to move out. Even if you're only like 9.
Well, my dad did have a threesome with my stepmom and my brother's wife, so like, you know, he really was a bad roommate.
Damn. Well, all right. Yeah. Well, you guys sound super functional.
dude, it was a fucked up childhood, man. The 90s are a wild time, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm starting to think it might not have just been the 90s.
turns out I got some massive childhood trauma and I can't picture it, you know. I like how
everything that happened bad to in your family and your personal life is the 90s fault.
It's like, well, I'm just saying, the 90s were a wild time.
Let's just blame it all on the 90s. I think that's a good blanket, and that'll save you so much money on counseling too.
No, actually it's costing me money actually, so therapy's a big thing now because the podcast helps with that. I get to talk to guys like you and, you know, I get to hear your stories and whatnot, and
I think I can help you out of this, no problem. But yeah, we'll just have to do this once a week, and I charge really reasonable rates. It's just a cube of Pilsner every 10 minutes.
Cube of Pilsner.
Yeah, so if you're not cured by the half hour, well, at least I've got three. At least I got three cubes.
Well, you know what? Shoot me. I'll give you a cube of Pilsner, and I should be charging you to come on my podcast once a week. You know, like,
I'll be solving the Dick Frost family trauma pipeline. I'm like the guy on the pipelines. You know what I mean? Who comes in like with the whatever that machine is, you know, where like they make sure that all the welds are solid. What's that machine called?
Oh, like the X-ray machine there?
The X-ray machine. Yeah. Like I'm, I'm just gonna go through your entire family, like with the basically like the I'll be like the human X-ray machine, and I'll identify all the problems, but I won't fix them. I'll just tell you where the problems are.
I can tell you where some of them are, man. I remember one time my dad, you know, I used to wonder if my dad was going to be, you know, pumped about the kind of women I brought home, right? You know, just be like, yeah, that's my son, right? Turns out it was my younger sister, the one he left me in the bathtub with, that he was more proud of. You know, he ended up dating, I think he was grooming her when she was 14, and they ended up living together for like 10 years or something like that. And we think that one of her kids is actually my younger brother. Yeah, this is, oh my God, bro. We could do a whole fucking new, a whole new podcast on my childhood.
Damn, man. Yeah, it's, well, like I said, I'll bring the X-ray machine.
Yeah. I think my younger, my stepmom might actually be, you know, about 6-7 years younger than me. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, then you are right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason why I joke around the way I do, talk the way I do, you know, it's, I'm covering up, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's comedy for real. Like, that's what comedy is. It's like, it's just like a way of like, I don't know, getting like really exercising your demons or whatever. Like, that's the idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, my boss actually said that to me recently, because I was diagnosed with BPD, right? Borderline personality disorder. And a lot of that is from my childhood trauma, right? And he's like, dude, I told you that shit was coming back to haunt you. He's like, I let you talk your shit all the time because I know, right? You're just talking it out loud. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, wild. Man,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great, man. Fucking back to your movie though, man. Like, are you actually that good at hockey?
Yeah. It was really good as a teenager. And you know, it's one of those things where I had a lot of talent, but I don't know were you ever good at hockey? Like, did you ever go far or?
No, I never went far. I was a goalie, and like, I have a bum eye, right? So like, you know, like, you know, the ball goes over here and I'm catching it like over here, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, okay. Well, no, I'm just curious, because you never know, like, what other people's background is. But no, I wasn't like Gretzky or anything, but like, I definitely had a lot of talent as far as like, you know, Deacon and skating and all that stuff. And I was, I hit my growth spurt when I was like 11 or something like that. Like, so I was a lot bigger than a lot of the kids at that age. So I had the size, I had like the skill. So I was sort of like, I don't know, from the age of about like 11 to about 14, I was kind of one of the bigger, faster, stronger guys. And then everybody caught up with me, you know, like I'm like 5'9", 5'10". And then all of a sudden, like all of a sudden, you know, which is pretty big for like a, you know, like a 12, 13 year old. But then like all of a sudden everyone starts getting bigger. Everyone's 6 foot, 6'2". And all the guys that I was bullying and, you know, beating down, they're just like, I remember you. You know, and so it started to get a little harder to kind of like be an impact player. It was just one of those things where I didn't have the desire, like, to be a real like high end impact athlete who goes anywhere. Like, even if you're just talking about like AAA hockey, you just have to have that kind of psycho athlete mentality where like literally nothing else matters. Like, there's two, like, either you have like Gretzky level talent, which is like 0.001% of the population, or you've got like that insane drive where you just need to be number one all the time. And I didn't have either of those. So it kind of petered out when I was around like 16. And then funnily enough, the most fun I ever had in hockey was that last year where I was like, okay, I tried out for the AAA team. I didn't make it. And then the AA team was like, okay, well, like, obviously you can play with us because I'd be one of the better players. But I just remembered, I was like, so I'm going to be playing AA again. And it's like, I got to, you know, the coach is calling me on Friday and Saturday nights at 10 o'clock to make sure I'm like at home in my bed. And I got practice twice a week. I got 2 games a week. It was just like, and you just wanted to drink, you know? I was getting into playing music. I was getting into, you know, chasing the ladies around. And so I said, fuck it. But I was still playing hockey. So I played one season just like in my local, hockey league, like my, I guess call it neighborhood league or whatever. And that was the most fun I ever had playing hockey in all my, I guess, about a decade of playing hockey. Cause finally, like, I didn't have, my dad wasn't my coach. I didn't have like some super hard ass, like, wannabe junior, like, junior hockey coach. I was just like some guy, some volunteer guy who was like a party dude. And me and like a bunch of other guys who were kind of like, either they weren't that good or they were like me, who they were kind of good, but they were kind of lazy. And so, yeah, it was just like the most fun. We just ripped up the league. We went on, I mean, man, we went on this one tournament where we were playing in Boise, Idaho. And it was like, you know, we didn't even have to try to win these things. Like, it was just, we were, because we had a couple of ringers. We had this other guy who was even bigger than me. He was crazy, this blonde dude. So we could just like show up all hungover and like play, basically win the tournament. So the night before the first game, like, we're just like absolutely ripped it in the hotel. Like, we're running up and down, like causing all kind of noise. And then the one guy with the beard, who was even a year younger than me, he was like, I think he was 14 at the time, maybe 15. He went and got the beer for us. His dad was the mailman, so we called him the mailman. So the mailman went and got us all the beers and the hard booze. It was pretty funny. You know, you got like a 15-year-old kid coming out in the parking lot with a shopping cart full of the dollar store handle vodka, like all the cheapest beers. And so we're ripping it. And then all of a sudden, the guy, mailman, he like takes all his clothes off. And he's like, we're getting noisy in Boise, because we were in Boise, Montana. And he starts running up and down the hall, like screaming noisy in Boise, knocking on the doors. Like, everyone's coming out of the room, and he's stark naked, screaming at the top of his lungs, noisy in Boise. And so the cops come, and I was like, I ended up in the, I was the only guy who was 18 on the team. So I got thrown in jail. It was amazing. And then the best part was, they didn't even call my parents. Like, they finally called the coach. The coaches were at the bar, absolutely shit faced themselves. So they didn't come and get me until like, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, where the fuck were you guys? They're like, we were passed out. This is so funny.
It's the 90s. What's that? It was the 90s.
Hey, man, it was the 90s. Everything was the 90s, everything, dude. Everything was the same.
The 90s, bro.
Yeah. Well, the fact that I was 18 and they threw me in a jail cell with like hardened criminals, you know what I mean? Like, there was a bald guy with like swastika tattoos and stuff. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Were they hardened or were they just hard?
They were hardened, man. These guys, they certainly didn't look like, you know, they were in there for yelling noisy in Boise in a hall room, like in the hallway of a cheap ass hotel. But anyway, yeah, no, I was good at hockey. So I wanted to put hockey into the movie, Diener 89, because I was like, ah, it was part of my childhood. And like, I'm assuming a lot of kids' childhood, whether they were like good or not, the idea of being in the locker room kind of brings back a lot of memories. So I was like, hell yeah, let's get some hockey in here. And then it was fun too, because, you know, we had a stunt coordinator and stuff, and, you know, got to do some stuff that I couldn't actually do. Like, there was the one thing, I don't know, there's like, what's that?
Jump off the bus.
Yeah, I did jump off the bus. but like, I did pretty much almost all my own stunts, other than flip the car. There was a couple sort of, I mean, obviously the stunt guys did versions of that's how they do it. And when you make movies, like, you do the stunt and then the stunt guy does it, and then you kind of use which one kind of looks like the best or whatever. So I tried pretty much all the stunts myself, other than, yeah, obviously, I didn't flip the car. We had one shot at that, 'cause we only had one, you know, you get two cars, right? You get like the main car that you use the whole movie, and then you get the one you get to mess up that's kind of like a copy of it. And then, man, that thing was so sketchy. Like, the floor was all rusted out. Well, it inside was
80s car, right? Like, it looked like it was a car from like, you know, the early to late, the mid to late 80s.
I think it was an 84. Yeah. An 84. Yeah. The old fire chicken. Yeah, that was wicked, man. That was
a cool day.
What's that?
Did the eyes work?
You mean the eyes?
The headlights, the eyes, did they work?
I don't think it had opening and closing headlights.
It looked like it did. It looked like it did.
No, maybe I'll have to ask. That's a question for a professional. A professional.
Professionally.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. Dude, did you, like, when you were actually playing hockey, like, how many games did you actually throw for Bikers?
When I was actually playing hockey? Oh, fuck, I didn't know. And I didn't mean that was all made up. Like, I didn't have any biker trouble as a young man. Thank God.
As when I got older, maybe a little bit, but
Yeah. When you're touring around Canada, oftentimes you get invited to after parties, and every once in a while you're like, I think I'm at a Hell's Angels bar. And then, yeah, sure enough, you are. And so
well, you did spend some time in Fort McMurray, so.
yeah, no, I got some buddies who have been down that road.
Yeah, man. Fucking I was it was funny because shortly after I recently kind of sort of banged myself up and I was sitting in the hotel room in Fort Mac and I'm like, fuck, what am I gonna watch? And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm throwing on FUBAR too, right? And fucking I just wanted to see that one part, right? And I was joking around on the podcast actually about like how I FUBAR'd myself and I got in a little bit of trouble for saying that, so
Oh, why? Because, like, I mean, yeah, I guess that kind of thing's not that funny because people do
yeah,
it all the
well,
time.
it is funny. It's funny, but like to people like us, it's funny.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's not funny to the people who are
Yeah,
the bosses.
it's yeah. They don't like it too much. They didn't see the humor in it, or maybe they did. They just wanted to not be in that, have that hat on, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're allowed to secretly find it funny. They're just not allowed to, like, endorse it.
Yeah. They probably like hung up the phone with me after giving me shit, and they're probably just like, that was actually funny. That was pretty hilarious, you know. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
why didn't I think of that? Oh shit, man. I know you don't have much time. You said you got some things to do here, so I don't want to keep you too much longer there, bud. But
Oh no, just keep firing away. I'll let you know
oh fuck,
when
it's
I pull up.
deadly, man. Fuck, I love that, man. So fucking I know Uncle Hack actually wanted me to ask you like, you know, about the filming of FUBAR and like what you know what how that all went down and how much of a party was it? He said it had to have been fun. It looked like it was probably a good time.
Well, yeah, well, like I was saying earlier about how many beers we drank, yeah, like it was pretty fun making that movie. Like, there was a lot of beers being consumed, and like I said, we didn't really know much about what we were doing, so it was really just kind of like, all right, let's go and have some fun, you know what I mean? And that's what, like, whenever anybody, people ask, we're like, oh yeah, well, I'm looking to get into filmmaking or looking to get into TV or whatever, like, do you have any advice? And that's the one thing I always say is, like, whatever you're doing, it's like, make sure it's fun, because
Yeah.
like that sort of, like, genuine enthusiasm, and like, whatever you're doing, whether it's like stupid bullshit or whether it's serious or whatever it is, but like, whatever it is, like, people will sort of get that from whatever you're doing, instead of trying to, if you're trying to, like, do somebody else's thing, well, then you're just trying to, like, be somebody else. So that's always my advice, it's like, whatever you're doing, just try and have fun doing it, and make sure it's kind of like a, it more or less is like, reflects like who you are, even if who you are is kind of like a wasteoid.
Yeah, no, man, that's sort of like making videos on the internet, right? Like, just have fun doing it, be genuine about it, right? Don't do it for any other reason other than that you're having a good time, right? And that's kind of what I've taken away from the whole thing, you know, making my own videos and whatnot, just having a good time, you know, just, you know, don't post a video just for the sake of posting a video. Do it because you want to do it, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you live in a world now where, you can have millions of followers just by, like, taking your top off and making scrambled eggs every morning, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, I've tried that. How come I don't have millions of followers?
You gotta try harder, man, to keep going.
Yeah,
You gotta do it. You gotta do it every day, because there's like a whole crew of people who love breakfast, like, topless with breakfast videos.
and topless people.
And there's a whole like market for that.
There is, but I wonder if I'm like the wrong gender or some shit, you know? Like I just gotta like identify as a woman and maybe that's the key. I gotta really sell it, right? Maybe I like gotta put my wife's bra on and then like I'm cooking eggs and I just take it off and you know, maybe that's the key here.
Yeah, well, the only way to know is to make like 150 videos over a year long and just keep doing it and see how far you get.
Just like try it scrambled, try it sunny side up, try them like, you know, whatever. Just do different style of eggs and see which one gets it going. This story's not about eggs, by the way.
Yeah, man. Hashtag Eggman.
Speaking of eggs, bro. Oh my God. So I recently learned, okay, was Humpty Dumpty an egg?
What else could he have possibly been?
He wasn't an egg. Man, look at, Google the story. Humpty Dumpty wasn't actually an egg.
Well, what was he?
They never said what he was. You just by the way he looked and how he cracked and whatnot, like everyone just assumed he was an egg, but he's not an egg.
Well, all the king's horses and all the king's men, they could put Humpty back together again. you telling me those guys weren't about to have breakfast? I always thought that was like a breakfast tale.
Dude, there's no better story than a good brunch story, right? Like nobody, you know what I mean? Like it's hard to find brunch, and like the king's men and king's whatever fucking it was, they couldn't put them back together again because they were off to have brunch, but he wasn't actually an egg. And I don't know how many people, there's 5 people watching on TikTok and 3 right now, wherever else they're coming in from. Man, like someone is going to say something to me here about, you know, how he was an egg or how he wasn't an egg, and they're going to try to argue it. So like,
well, here's the thing. I don't know, I always assumed, I think logically, that like all the king's horses were, and all the king's men, they had way too much to drink the night before, and then they were on their way to have like brunch or whatever. I guess back in those days it was just breakfast. They hadn't invented brunch yet. That's more of a 20th century kind of thing. And then they're like, oh, that's the, then they see in like, what was that? Oh, a manger. They see like this giant egg in a manger, kind of like, oh, just like
gold. Are we going back to like the Jesus and
No, they had mangers back in the horse and soldiers days. So they see this huge egg and they're like, oh, that's perfect. That'll feed all of us. And so they crack it. And
that's
then,
a big fucking egg, right? Like, and right, yeah, now, like US eggs are like $12.
Big as a pig. The egg was big as a pig. And then they cracked it. And then the one guy who was just woke up was like, oh, dude, you just cracked the king's golden egg. Like that was his favorite egg. And so they're like, oh man, we'll just put it back together again. You know?
Are we telling
and he'll never know, and the king will never know. But then they're like, they couldn't, because you can't put an egg back together, idiots. And idiots. So that's why they got into trouble, right?
Because maybe that's how people started eating glue then, though. Maybe they tried to use glue to put that egg back together.
Yeah, or they're just like, look, we're gonna have to kill one of the horses.
Oh, and shit. Then
they, you know,
and that's how IKEA became a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then they make IKEA furniture out of the horse's hooves, and that's the sort of the, that's where all that came from. So it's actually pretty, I don't know, back in the olden days of Merlin and stuff, there was really hard to know what to have for breakfast.
Merlin, a real wizard on the ice.
Yeah, Merlin would have been able to put that Humpty back together again.
Fuck yeah, man. Hey, I got a question for you. You know, do you know what viscosity is?
I mean, it's like the thickness of liquid, right?
Yeah, the thickness of liquid. Where I'm going with that is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. And the Mudman deals in the thickness of your load.
Oh, okay. So yeah. What's better? Like, is thickness good or bad?
Well, like, it all depends, you know? Like, if you're drilling on a rig, you're drilling down hole, right? And you need that shit to be more viscous, right? You got to thicken that shit up. If it needs to be less viscous, you need to like, you know, make it less thick, right? So the Mudman, you know, he deals in that shit, and he's got all the tools and equipment and whatnot. I told him I was doing a live stream with you today, and he's like, I'll try to catch it. I don't know if that's the one person watching over on Instagram right now, but shout out to that person.
Who's Mudman?
The Mudman, his name is Brian. And he is an incredible human being. He sponsors the podcast. And, you know, when the podcast needed a headset and a microphone, he was there. And then this past summer, you know, I couldn't edit or do anything. He hooked the podcast up with a brand new MacBook. And that's how I'm able to live stream over on TikTok. And there he is. Hey, the Mudman's here. I don't know if you can see the comments or not there, bud. But the Mudman,
no, I can't
there.
See.
He's hanging out on YouTube.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, no, I can't see. I can't see the comments, but... I'm very highly appreciative of Mudman and everything he does. So he's like he makes like various types of viscosity of oils if I understand.
Like he's got like a lot of high tech equipment. You know, he's dealing in like, you know, he's taking the Viz cups from being just like regular Viz cups to like, man, they're digital and shit now. It could tell you when it's too hot and it needs to cool down and tell you how much the weight is and shit like that. The man's a genius.
Oh, that's cool. Can you ask him if like thick semen or thin semen, which is better?
Mudman Market over here, you got a comment on that. He's over in the comments over here. So but yeah, dude, as a man in my mid-30s, and I'm, how old are you now anyways?
I'm in my 40s, man. I'm getting up there.
You're getting up there. You're turning to dust now, right? So like as a man in my mid-30s, you know, it's never thicker, you know, it's never been thicker. And that can confirm, let's talk to Mrs. Frost, but like, you know, can confirm that men in their mid-30s are never thicker than they are than when they were at this age, right? And then, you know, as we get up there in age, you know, it starts to, you know, level off a little bit. But, you know, the Mudman says, I think it's all up to your personal preference, Diener.
Oh, okay, good. Well, no, I was just wondering because that's something that, you know, as a musician, you know what I mean? You often get that question, you know, people are like, you know, who's got the best, you know, the best semen? Is it the bass player? Is it the guitar player or whatever? And I like to think it's like what's the, it's the bass player. I would like to think, you know, and so now I guess I was hoping that I could walk away with some sort of like quantitative sort of thing or, you know, like an expert, like the Mudman would be able to tell me. But, well, so how do you measure viscosity? Like exactly, do you know how to do that? Is it in like a 1 to 10 or is it like a qubits? Or
that's a great question. That's a great question that the Mudman should answer. You guys could probably check that out on www.mudmanmarket.com. And I'm pretty sure I fucked up the website again, like I always do. But he said it's always the bass player that has the thickest.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, Mudman Market. There it is. It's it's just mudman.com, man.
I think it was that before, but he changed it. Are you telling me that between Geddy Lee and Neil Peart, that Geddy Lee has the thickest?
Well, I'm just assuming, yeah.
I don't know, man. A guy with one arm that drums, he fucks. You know he does.
I'm sure there's always aberration in every, you know, like set of data. So like, yeah, it's not going to be like 100% down Main Street every time. There's going to be deviations, and sometimes
part is the exception, not the rule.
I'd say the drummer is the exception, yeah, and the bass player is the rule. Yeah, there you go.
Gotcha. I love that, man.
Never the guitar. Never the guitar player. Like all those thin little strings they're playing. Like forget it.
Oh shit, man! Next time you make a movie, though, hey, don't forget about Dick Frost. Okay, Dick Frost wants to be in a movie.
Okay.
Dick Frost wants to be in a movie, and like I don't drink. I'll drink Hey Y'all. I'll drink lemonades, hard lemonades. I'll be there. You know, like give me pallets full of hard lemonades, and like you can do your thing with the pill. And I'm sure, you know, but I want to be there.
Sounds good, man. Yeah. No, I mean, there's always. I mean, my motto, the family motto that's on like our coat of arms is there's always more room for Dick Frost.
Fuck yeah. There's more room for Dick. I love that. Ben Parsons, who's actually my boss, by the way, he wants to know, does he still have the Warlock bass?
Oh, you can tell Ben I got the Warlock. It's all polished up and ready to go, buddy.
Fuck yeah, Ben. You hear that? He still has the Warlock bass. Dude, you were in a bunch of bands back in the day, weren't you?
Creeper early days, and that Night Seeker a little later on, and I mean those are the main ones. Yeah, Risk of Electric Shark was another band. The John Suede Blues Band, play a little bass for them, I dipped my bass in a few waters, so to speak.
Ben says Night Seeker gets in your fucking head.
You know it, buddy.
You know, I've never actually listened to it. Like Ben is a hardcore like metal guy, or I don't know if he's metal guy, but like he went to go see Metallica. And we had this conversation earlier. He doesn't actually like Metallica.
I didn't say that. I said after the first couple of records, I'm not a huge Metallica fan. I mean, I do like Metallica's first couple of records, but you know, as far as like all the metal bands that a guy can listen to, you know, I mean, they're not like in my top five or something.
That's fair. I know Ben, Metallica was here in Edmonton like last summer, and I live north side, so I could hear the whole concert pretty much from my backyard. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's deadly. Yeah. Well, they were playing. Where were they playing? Commonwealth?
Commonwealth, yeah.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, man. I they were there for two nights, I believe it was. And it was getting a little annoying midway through because it was like a 4-hour long concert.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, this is like the first of two nights. Great.
Ben says the only people who like Metallica after Master of Puppets are the same people who think Whiskey in the Jar is their best song.
Okay. Yeah. Ben's officially a rocker, man. He rules.
Well, you could tell, you know, he is originally from the Mac, right? And, you know,
oh, he's one of the rare true Mackinites. That's what they call them, like Mackinites.
If you're I don't from know Fort if they're Mac. Called Mackinites or Fort Mackians or whatever they're called, or I don't know.
They're called Mackinites, all right?
Mackinites. We'll call them Mackinites or Mackians. Mackians are good too. We'll call them Mackians.
Yeah, or more like Smackians.
Smackians. Dude, fucking, I'm so glad now that Ben's here, I'm so glad I didn't fucking get into the full story of how I foobarred myself, you know? Like, I could get in some serious, like, hot water for that.
No, well, we don't want to know, and nobody wants to know, so don't tell. Don't know. Don't tell. Don't sit.
I can tell you 100% Ben didn't take half my payments to keep it quiet either.
Oh, well, yeah, that's like some of those tales are best meant for the what do you call it? Like the deepest, darkest pits and never to see the light of day.
You're going to get us all in trouble. I tell you that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, man, dude, honestly, bro, we're going to have to, like you said, you offered it already. Ben will probably help me get this. He wants a cube of pill to come on the podcast once a week. Ben will help me do that. So you got to come on once a week. We gotta have like maybe a Frost and like fucking, you know, Diener show or some shit.
Yeah, buddy. What I was thinking that what I was going to do is I was going to unearth all of your family secrets, as a way of like helping you deal with your trauma. But you know, like we'll see what we can do.
There's a lot of family secrets there, man. Like I don't know if you've got that kind of time. I don't know if like humanity has that kind of time. You know, like it was only 18 years, but it was like a lot of shit happened. You know.
Yeah, well, like a lot of shit can happen in 18 minutes. You know what I mean? Like you can, like you could go from like winning the lottery to, you know, being with your pants down at your ankles in the middle of Main Street. You know,
that's very true, bro. That's
not to say that I've done that.
We're going streaking.
Well, I win the lottery. It's like, yeah, I won the lottery, but it's like, you know, you win $18 on a scratch ticket, you know, and then like 10 minutes later, you didn't. Like, downtown, like right down Main Street, and you got your pants at your ankles, and you know you got like a little bit too much of that what is it, like the malt liquor in you. Oof, that stuff will make you do pirouettes.
I don't know, I've never drank that. I'm not a big drinker, man. Like I said, I stick to the teas, you know. Half a can of Twisted Tea gets me feeling good, right? So, you know.
Yeah, well, look, as a guy who doesn't drink, definitely don't start with malt liquor.
Yeah, I won't start with anything too crazy, you know. Like I don't know, I don't even know what malt liquor is. Is it like malt vinegar? I don't know. Is that malt vinegar?
I don't know what it is either. All I know is it's extremely cheap and really, really, it's like triple. You know, instead of being 5%, it's like 18%. So.
Oh yeah, that would fuck me up. I'd probably never wake up from that for sure.
Yeah, no, you don't want to. That's the thing.
Brother, I'm going to let you go here because, you know, you got to get on to doing deadly things and shit like that. But I fucking just want to finish it up. You know, I finish the podcast up with one last question every time. And,
sure.
You know, the Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people on the rock, right? Depending on who you ask. If you had your own Mount Rushmore, four people that Diener looks up to, inspires to be there, inspires, dead or alive, real, not real, who would they be and why?
My Mount Rushmore of people that are real and or not real.
Dead or alive.
Dead or alive. Well, you gotta put Mario Lemieux on there. Greatest hockey player to ever play.
That's Ovechkin, brother. I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Ovechkin is the greatest hockey player to ever play.
I thought you were asking me a question.
Okay, you go.
You got like the rest of your life and this whole podcast to tell people what you think. This is my time.
Okay.
All right. So you got Mario, of course, you know, whatever. If it wasn't for cancer, he'd have a million goals, fucking way better than anybody else. So, okay. So that's one. Two, for sure, you got to have Merlin up there. Like, there's no question. And then I guess Geezer, the bass player for Black Sabbath, just absolute icon. And then we'll just put the great spirit, the great creator for number four, you know, just so that I got all my bases covered, so to speak.
What about, I thought you were going to put Tron up there.
Well, Tron's already up there. He's up in heaven. Right. So what are you going to do?
Rest in peace to the great Tron.
That's right,
man. This has been great, man. So same time next week, you said once a week, right? So.
Yeah, buddy. We'll make it happen.
Fuck yeah, man. I can't wait, dude. See you next week. I'll be messaging you later, and we're going to get this done. And next time, you come on camera. You got to come on camera. Cause I want to see those. I want to see that flow, man. It gets me. Okay, that's, I guess, one more question. Fucking, how do you keep your hair like that after all these years, man? Because, like, hey, man, I'm like less than what you are, and I can't keep a flow, so.
Well, it's a lot of it to do is just, you know, the genetics, right? Like, my old man still got a full head of hair, and, you know, I never did any of that fucking hat wearing bullshit back in the old days. You know, like, people say that has an effect. I don't know if it does or not, but I just never wore a hat when I was younger. But I think it's mostly just luck, really. It's just like a coin flip. But now to keep it like nice and like, I use like, been getting into these natural products, like it's a combination of bull semen and bone marrow. So a little bit of buffalo bone marrow and bull semen, and then it's kind of just like, it's a cream rinse that you put in afterwards. It's got a bit of an odor to it. So I wouldn't go out like looking for on the hunt for the ladies, like right after an application. Like you gotta let, yeah, exactly. You gotta let the gloss kind of like dissipate a little bit before you go out on the hunt. Or else they'll just come after you like animals, you know. It's like a herd, you know. But that's what I do. Yeah. It's leave in. You gotta leave it in. You know what I mean? And that's where you get the fullness and that's how it works.
Like,
and
then come back.
What's that?
Will my hair come back if I start, you know, doing the bull semen?
And buffalo bone marrow. One won't work. It's a combination. You have to do both. Okay. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with trying.
Well, I live pretty close to Elk Island, right? So, fucking, you know, like 45 minutes. So, you know, I can probably sneak in there sometime in the next, you know, week or so and get me some buffalo bone marrow. And bull semen too. There's definitely some of that there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't kill a buffalo. I'm sure if there's like, you just ask for one of the dead ones and they'll be like, oh yeah. I think you can even buy buffalo like steaks and stuff. So just dig the marrow out of there. You know, just so you're not messing with the national park. I mean, just for your own like benefit, like that's a federal crime and everything. You know what I mean? You're in like prison on day one, and like, what are you in here for? And you're like, oh, I killed a buffalo, and everyone's just gonna hate you, man. It's like it's one of the worst crimes, you know, as far as like putting you on like the rung of hate, the hated.
I was thinking about would they hate me more for killing a buffalo or jerking off a bull?
I mean, it depends on who you talk to, but probably about 50-50.
Nice. That's beautiful. All right, buddy. Hey, thanks for coming on the podcast. I'll see you same time next week.
You got it, Dick. Take your sleazy, buddy.
Hey, take her sleazy. And if she's easy, take her twice, bud.
Already did.